Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We decided that because Easter is the most church attended weekend of the year on the American calendar, we thought, why don't we do Hero the Rock musical after Easter and just keep extending Easter? And it is so good. There's a sweet, sweet dear lady who works in a jewelry right near where Leanne and I get coffee on a regular basis. And, you know, her husband is kind of a jazz musician, doesn't really want anything to do with church, but he is pumped about the fact that, you know, we've got a rock musical. And when we told him that the list of songs, he's like, in church? And so it's going to be, yeah, so get ready. So they're going to get their minds blown, because it's our story in their language. It's our story. It's the good news of the gospel. The worst thing the church can ever do is speak a language foreign to the ears of a lost world. So, you know, religious people really don't like what we do. There's not one Christian song in that whole production. Exactly. Because we're hoping that you've already been reached. Now we want you to turn and see a lost world, and we want you to reach out a hand and pull them out and bring them into what you got. Amen. Would you thank the musicians and the singers? Didn't they do a fabulous job? Take a brief break, but don't go too far. Hey, on your seat, I just want to say thank you so much for coming. And handsome Pastor John also got off the plane this morning. We're all up at LAX this morning, flying back from Presence Conference. But I want you to take your communion cup that should be on your seat. And tonight, just in the few moments that we have before we take communion, don't open it yet, but I just want to kind of maybe reiterate to you and maybe open the eyes of your understanding to just how powerful. I mean, right now you're just looking at, it's a little plastic cup with some juice, and how do I separate the, and it's got a little, you know, little mini cookie thing on the top, okay? So, and you may just think, well, you know, it just looks like it's, you know, a little plastic thing and probably cost a dollar or whatever. But I want you to know tonight how powerful this is. How powerful this is. This is so powerful. And literally, when I was putting a title together, I went back to my pre-church days growing up in a home where my dad was an atheist. And I remember in Australia, today is a public holiday. I'm not sure if you realize that, but nothing's open on Good Friday. And they also have Easter Monday off. So if you're thinking, I wouldn't mind being an Australian, well, they have Friday and Monday. So everyone goes away for the long weekend. So the roads are chaos. And so Australia, you know, and everywhere you go, Pastor John was just saying, my gosh, I went for coffee here and I went for lunch there. And people were saying, Happy Easter, Happy Easter, Happy Easter, Happy Easter. It's like everyone just celebrates. I guess part of it is they got 4 days off and off work, you know, God bless. And so, but I remember as a kid thinking, why on earth would you call it Good Friday? Why do they? And I couldn't understand, because on that Roman form of capital punishment, literally the most inhumane, the most grievous, the most violent form of capital punishment ever conceived by man was the crucifixion. And Jesus, the sinless, blameless, who healed the sick and opened the eyes of the blind. And I remember as a little kid, you know, mum and dad would be out partying on the weekend, and And so I'd be left to babysit my little brother, and you know, and on Easter weekend they play all the Jesus King of Kings and all these, and I'd watch it, and I remember just thinking, man, if I would have stopped them from crucifying him, because I thought it was a massive injustice that somebody who only did good ended up on the cross. And I couldn't understand that people were celebrating Good Friday. We're celebrating Good Friday. This is not in my notes, and I may go there on Sunday, but what's amazing is that after God destroyed the world with a flood, he destroyed the whole world with a flood, and the scars of it are all over the world. The evidence is everywhere. After he destroyed the world with a flood, it's interesting, God put a rainbow in the sky. He put a rainbow in the sky, and God says, no matter how bad sin gets again, he says, oh, see this, Noah? It's a covenant. It's a covenant to say that I will never again destroy the earth with water, with a flood. And watch this. Knowing that the earth had been completely cleansed, all the wicked had been drowned and removed, but knowing that Noah was still carrying a sinful nature, that you and I are born in sin. I just watched The Matrix on the plane because I couldn't sleep. You know, and Morpheus says, what is the Matrix? The Matrix is the world that's been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. What is the Matrix? It tells us we were born slaves, Neo. And we're all born into sin. I don't have to teach my kids how to do wrong. I have to teach them how to lie. I don't have to teach them how to cheat. I don't have to teach them how to steal. I don't have to teach them how to blame. They do all that naturally. So we're all born. And so this is what God said. He said, it'll come to pass when sin comes, he says, I'll look at the rainbow and I'll remember the rainbow. The rainbow is just, again, another shadow and a type, another picture that when you and I sin, when the world that we live in sins, when people sin, God doesn't look at you and I. God, the rainbow was a foreshadowing of the fact that Jesus would hang on that cross. And what God does is he redirects his vision away. He redirects his anger. He redirects his wrath and his judgment away from you towards what he has put in the sky between heaven and earth, the cross. Jesus was up on a mountain, lifted up between heaven and earth, and on that cross is where the Son of God took your sin and took my sin. So the reason it's called Good Friday is, if you look in John 1:29, the Bible says that Jesus was walking along the banks of the Jordan River. His cousin John the Baptist is baptizing him baptizing people in the Jordan River, and the anointing is all over him. And then he looks and he points with his finger. And John 1:29, I think it's coming up on the screen. Jesus says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, Jesus understood what that meant, but I'm not sure if you understand what that means. So let me just kind of tell you what it is. So in 1 Corinthians, Jesus talks about how Jesus gathered his disciples and said to the disciples, how eagerly I've longed to eat this Passover with you. The Passover consisted of lamb and bread. And Jesus takes out the bread and the wine. And he says, listen, he says, I'm the lamb. I'm the bread of heaven. And he says, I want you to take this bread, because this bread is my body broken for you. Now, then he passes the cup around and says, this cup is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, a new agreement that God is establishing in the earth between him and mankind. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. But come with me to Exodus chapter 12. They'll put the words on the screen. Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. I want to show you something very, very powerful. And then we're going to pray and get ready for breakthrough. Because tonight I really felt the Holy Spirit say, hey, don't just talk about it. I can talk to you about brisket. I can talk to you about good old Southern barbecue. But unless you taste it for yourself, come on, somebody. It's one thing to talk about it, and sometimes we can get so carried away in church, and you know, I've got, you know, preacher sin where I've always got something else to preach, another point to preach, and sometimes I get in the car and people say, oh, that was a great preach, Pastor, and I feel the Holy Ghost say, you preach too long. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You didn't allow people to taste and see, you just kept reading the menu to people. Imagine going to a restaurant and all I do is just read, and then we got brisket and we got Bubba Gump shrimp and we got deep fried shrimp. And, and if I just start telling you, and you're like, give me something to eat. And I'm, well, that's our time's up. We're closed now. Kitchen's closed. No, no, no. So tonight I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you, and we're going to pray in four specific areas. But I want you to have a look at this in Exodus. So this is where it all goes back. This is God delivering the Israelites out of the power of Egypt's grip. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, it says, this month shall be your beginning. Everyone say beginning. Beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So he's about to tell him, I want you to take a lamb, 1 year old, without blemish, without defect. You're to slaughter the lamb, and then you're to take the blood and you're to put it on the doorposts, on the wooden posts. The wooden posts of the doors have a vertical beam and a horizontal beam, and you're going to put the blood on it. And he says, I want you to take a lamb without blemish, 1 year old. He says, but I want you to know this. It's not just about the event. He says, I want you to actually change your calendar. It's going to be the beginning of months. So God is already prophesying that when somebody comes into an encounter with what Jesus did on the cross, it's going to be a brand new beginning. The Bible says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The power of Jesus Christ dying on the cross is so vast, so superior to every other religion will try to get you to conform to its ideals, to conform to its restraints, to conform to its traditions. Only Christianity doesn't conform, it transforms. It gives you a brand new start, a brand new beginning. You talk to people that have met Jesus Christ, that have had an encounter at the cross, they will tell you the old me died. Something happened on that day. I'm not the same anymore. Chains of depression were broken. Sickness was left my life. Addictions and habits and sins and iniquities from the past were shattered forever. I'm a new man. I'm a different person because that's the power of the cross. And so he says, for you, it'll be new beginnings. He says, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household. And then it says, if the household's too small, then, you know, share with your neighbors. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Then I want you to come down with me to verse 12. Verse 12. Says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now watch this, verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. What you're holding in your hand, what Jesus did on the cross, when he shed his blood on the cross, was when you come in under that, Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was the fulfillment. That's why he says, eagerly I've longed to eat this Passover with you. Because every year you had to do this. You had to take a lamb, which was just an animal, every year and sacrifice it, so that you could walk out of the curse and into blessing. So you could walk from sinfulness into righteousness. So you could walk from guilt and shame into forgiveness and peace and joy. He says, but you know what? You don't need to bring lambs anymore. I am the Lamb of God. I'm the sinless. I'm the blameless. I'm the without defect. I'm the faultless one. And I'm coming and I'm going to shed my blood. And I'm going to put it on the cross. The cross stands. You know that the year is 2017. The earth's been around for a lot longer than 2017 years, and yet it's the year 2017. Because 2017 years ago, approximately, the Son of God was born into the world, and we know that he was the Son of God because he split time in half. Why? Because it was the beginning of new beginnings, because Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross was everything that you've done in your past washed away, everything you've done in your future washed away, already forgiven on the cross. Between heaven and earth, God has made peace through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Now I want you to come with me, and then we're going to pray. Come with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 105. Psalm 105. This is going to blow you away. Psalm 105, and we're going to read from, I think it's verse 30. Let's do 36. Psalm 105, 36. says he also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the firstborn of all their strength. Verse 37. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. So I want you to see this. So Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years, 10 generations of slavery, 10 generations of oppression, 10 generations of poverty. They were doing all the labor, but somebody else was eating the fruit. They were doing all the work, all the construction, and all they were given in exchange was enough to keep them alive so they can keep feeding the machine. Be very, very wary. Have your eyes opened, because don't ever think that this finished with Pharaoh. Governments all around the world, men with a Nimrod spirit, know that the power to have people not prosper, but just be kept alive, to keep feeding the machine. Be wary of that. God wants you to flourish. God wants you to prosper. So God doesn't just say, I'm going to save you from Pharaoh. He doesn't just say, I'm going to deliver you from that kind of life. I'm going to deliver you from being slaves. I'm going to deliver you from bondage. He says this, the Bible says, when he brought them out with the silver and the gold. He made Egypt pay. Egypt is going to pay you back for everything the devil stole from you. I'm telling you this, listen. We get persecuted all the time. We get people write nasty letters and Yelp reviews and all kinds of things about, you know, they're a prosperity church like Joel Osteen. Put me in Joel Osteen's camp. God's for you. You know, put me in Joel Osteen's camp. I love Joel. Let me just tell you, I've read the Bible from cover to cover a couple of times, and I've yet to find anywhere where God's desire and intention isn't to bless you. In fact, the Bible even says in Galatians chapter 3 that Jesus became a curse, as it is written, cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham, go back to Genesis 12, the blessing of Abraham is that you would be blessed to be a blessing, blessed to be a blessing. So the blessing of Abraham might come to you and I. What is that? So that you and I are able to be a blessing in the world. So that people can see the visible difference between you and an unchurched person. Because the blessing of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the power of God. So let me tell you, in just a moment, I'm going to pray for people. Because the devil is a thief. And I know that some of you, he's ransacking your finances. And he's bringing, you know, just as you've got a raise, the car breaks down. And then the carburetor goes. And then a tire blows. And then this unexpected bill comes, and then a tax bill comes in, and one thing after another. I want you to know that sometimes that's just the enemy trying to plunder. We're going to break the power of the devil tonight. He's going to pay back what he's stolen from you. But have a look what it says. The second part of verse 37 says, there was none feeble among them. Now, there's almost a million Israelites that he's bringing out of Egypt. And there wasn't one, are you kidding me? They're working 16-hour shifts, 6 days a week. They've got elderly folk. Are you trying to tell me that there's not one elderly person with a bad back? 16 hours of labor. You're trying to tell me there's not one person with a sniffle. There's not one person with a cold. There's not one person there's an entire nation, and there's not one person who needs to take his medication. There's not one person on anxiety tab. There's not one person. There was not one feeble. There was not one feeble among them. Don't ever think that Jesus just died on the cross to make you feel guilty about the way you live. The Bible says, like we just sang in that song, my sin was great, your love was greater. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. In fact, if you've got it all together, the cross doesn't apply to you. But the truth is, you ain't got it all together. The reason Jesus went to the cross is because we couldn't get it all together. So Jesus went to the cross. The cross is for sinners. But God is not looking at your sin. He already put your sin on the Son. He has moved his judgment onto Jesus so that the blessing that belonged to Jesus might come to you. And can I just tell you, he didn't just die so that you could go to heaven. He died so that right here, right now, heaven can begin to come into your life. What does that look like? I'm glad you asked. This is how it looks. It looks like this. If you and I, if we took a trip up to heaven, if we went with, you know, Forrest Gump's mama, mama made a trip up to heaven. It was a Tuesday. Magic legs. Lieutenant Dan, you got magic legs. You know, if you and I made a trip up to heaven with Forrest Gump, you say, well, where's the disabled parking? No disabled parking in heaven. Oh, where's the section for the deaf? No section for the deaf. Do we have no section for the blind? Where's the hospice? No hospice. There's no sickness. Do you know you could have a body riddled with cancer, and you place that body in heaven, the cancer just completely, because life emanates from God. Life, sickness and disease and iniquity can't stand in the brightness and the magnificence of the glory of God who continually emanates life. The devil knows for you to have sickness, for you to have disease, all he's got to do is disconnect you from the author and the source of life. That's why he puts sin in man. One of the fallouts and one of the consequences of sin is disease and sickness. But here, the Bible says, so powerful was the blood of just a lamb that there wasn't one feeble amongst them. Imagine how much more powerful the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is. But you know what? The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed, or literally, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. The reason I'm commissioned to preach the good news, to preach the gospel, is so that when you hear the good news, you realize, my God, I don't got to be sick no more. I just accepted this. God's not a thief, the devil is. If you accept the sickness, I prayed for a gentleman in Atlanta, Georgia. He came forward on the altar call and he was not very well and he was on a walking frame and the family was with him. And I said, what can I pray for, sir? He said, you know, I need you to pray for me, you know. He says, I want you to pray for my cancer. I said, you want me to what? He says, I've got cancer. Would you pray for my cancer? And I could see the family, they're weeping and there was a strong anointing. And as I went to put my hand out, God said to me, don't pray for him. I'm like, oh, he's sick. Oh, why would you not want me to pray for him? And God says, because I'm not a thief. I said, well, I know that. Well, what do you mean? He says, I'm not going to take the cancer away because he owns it. He says, would you pray for my cancer? The devil's a thief. He'll steal stuff that belongs to you, but not God. So God said, tell him that when I died on the cross, I didn't die to give him cancer. I died to give him healing. His portion is healing. So I said, sir, I can't pray for you. And the family looked in shock and disbelief. And I said, because God didn't give you cancer. God gave you healing. But if you say, no, no, I've got cancer, God's not a thief. He's not going to take from you something that you own. This is mine. There are some things you don't want to own. There are some things you want to own. By his stripes, I am healed. Come on, somebody. And so as soon as he changed his language, I promise you, as soon as he changed his language, his whole face changed. He's like, man, for all these months, I've been confessing my sickness, my sickness. I said, no, you need to confess my healing. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. True story. As soon as he began to change his confession, I prayed for him. The power of God hit him. He fell out. I felt bad. He fell out of the frame. But then about 6 weeks later, I get an email from the family saying completely healed. Cancer completely healed, completely healed, completely healed, completely healed, completely healed. What Jesus did on the cross, he died on the cross to break the power of sin. He died on the cross to break the power of slavery. If you're a slave to pornography, if you're a slave to gambling, if you're a slave to appetites, if you're a slave to an eating disorder, if you're a slave to fear, if you're a slave to depression, Jesus did not die on a cross to start a new religion. He died on a cross to break the power of sin and to set you free. You don't have to live under the oppressive regime of the devil. What you've got in your hands. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to take it out. I want you to stand to your feet because I'm going to pray in four waves very, very quickly. And would you take the little biscuit? Is that what we call it? What do we call it? The little wafer. Take the wafer. Jesus said, this represents my body. Now listen, I hear the Holy Spirit saying this. The devil right now is even moving through the crowd, lying to people, saying, you don't deserve the cross. In fact, if you feel tonight that you don't deserve the cross, you are exactly why Jesus died. He died because you and I had no other way. There's no other way. I don't have to clean myself up to come to the cross. The cross is God's clean-up instrument. It's on the cross that His blood shed washes away my sin. But you know what? Before God, He doesn't just wash away your sin. You know what God does? The Bible teaches that He washes away all memory of your sin. Because I come to God and I'm like, hey, God, here I am again. Jurg's the sinner. And He's like, you sinned? I'm like, yeah, you remember. And God's like, no, I don't remember. Yeah, I talked to you last week about it. No recollection. Jesus didn't die just to wash away the power of it. He washed away the memory of it. That's the answer for sin. Not a religious facade, not a mask. Don't ever be the kind of religious Christian where we put on masks and put on, oh, greetings, and we try and talk the Christian talk and we hide our sin. Worst thing you can do, sin when it's hidden flourishes. Sin when it's brought into the light is destroyed. If you're under a sin, Jesus died to forgive you. If you're in slavery and addiction, Jesus died to break the power of that thing. His blood breaks every addiction. I'm going to pray for that in a second. So would you do this? Would you take this and just take it right now? I want you to see Jesus on the cross. His body is broken for you. His body is broken for you. His body was broken for you so that your body, if it's broken, can be healed right now, can be healed right now, can be healed right now. Father, right now I come against the spirit of infirmity and I come against the spirit of sickness and disease and I break its power now over people's lives. Somebody with breathing difficulties, you're being released now. Somebody right now, I see you suffering with anxiety, you're on medication, I break that thing now in Jesus' name. Somebody else, you've got a blood disorder, I can hear the Holy Spirit saying, I'm healing blood disorders, blood disorders, blood disorders are being healed right now. Blood disorders. There's someone with a neurological dysfunction. God is healing that right now. Healing that right now. I come against any terminal illness in this building right now, and I command it to leave under the sound of my voice. Any cancer, any tumor, hepatitis, healed right now in Jesus' name. Healed right now in Jesus' name. I break the grip of it. Now I want you to open it up, and we're going to drink the blood. Well, the juice that represents the blood. We're drinking blood. It's not blood. Sorry, it's juice. Excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself. So come on, let's drink it. There is nothing more powerful, because the Bible says the life of everything is in the blood. The life of everything is in the blood. Where the blood has been shed, justice has been executed. When Jesus died on the cross, you need to understand there's a thing in America called double jeopardy. Do you know what double jeopardy means? It means that you can't be tried for the same crime twice. All your crimes, all my crimes against God, Jesus has already shed His blood. It is an unjust judge that would say, well, hang on, no. It's already been paid. It's already been paid. When God looks at the blood, He passes over, because the blood says justice has been executed. Justice has been executed. Justice has been executed. So I want you to lift your hands high to heaven right now. Father, I thank you that forgiveness flows. I thank you that deliverance flows. I come against every sin, every iniquity, every chain, every bondage. I come against every addiction, every habit. Men struggling with lust or pornography or shame and guilt, and I break its power right now. Young ladies who may be struggling, older ladies who are struggling with rejection and eating disorders and trying to fit into a mold that the world has put on them, saying, if you can be this, then I break that thing now in Jesus' name. I break the gambling addictions, and I break right now hereditary sins of anger and violence. I break them now in Jesus' name. I declare freedom over your sons and daughters in Jesus' name. Now, if you've been struggling financially, my God, it just seems like the the devil's been stealing from me financially. Lift one hand up really, really high so that I know who you are. Father, right now you see these hands lifted. And Father, I come against just what the enemy's trying to do to steal. The Bible says the thief comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life. And I break that thing right now. Father, and I declare the silver and the gold of Egypt, the silver and the gold of this world begins to transfer, begins to flow to your sons and daughters. I declare that they are the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. And I declare they are blessed going in and blessed coming out, blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Blessed they are. And I break the spirit of poverty in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The last one, I just want you to put your hands down. Just close your eyes. The most important one. The most important thing that you can do on Good Friday. The reason Jesus died on the cross wasn't to start another religion. Jesus died on the cross to give you and I a brand new beginning. He didn't die to start another religion, to make you religious. He died to give you and I a brand new beginning. I had a brand new beginning 32 years ago, but I've got to be honest with you. In that 32 years, he's probably given me another couple of thousand. Brand new. He just washes. What, every time I've blown it, every time he's there to wash. He's there to wash. I'm like, God, surely by now you'd be judging me. He's like, no, I already got judged on the cross. I'm just here to wash away. I'm just here to cleanse. So while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you're saying, you know what? I've actually never surrendered to Christ. I've actually never invited Christ into my life. I've never asked him for forgiveness. I've never received what he did on the cross. I've never made him Lord. I've never made him my Savior. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, in the last 30 seconds of this meeting, I would love to pray a closing prayer for you. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, that's me. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else there? God bless you. 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 Who else is there? God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand, beautiful. God bless you, sweetie. And there I see your hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Church, let's all pray these words out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight that it is Good Friday, because what Jesus did on the cross means that I have a brand new beginning. Today I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I am delivered. I am healed. I am set free from poverty, from shame, from guilt. I am a child of God. Blessing from heaven flows into my life. I'm a brand new creature. Tonight I am a child of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a great shout. There's a handsome young man over here with a blue balloon. If you raise your hand, we want to give you a gift because, you know, we want to give everybody a gift, but for those of you that raise your hands, the decision you just made is so, so powerful, so important. Whether it's your first time or you're coming back, we want to put a Bible and a book in your hand that'll help you follow God. So if you go and see this man, just say, hey, I raised my hand. Can I get that gift? If you wanted to raise your hand, you can go. We'll still give you a gift. If you're sitting with someone who raised their hand, would you go and see this young man? He'll give you that gift. But church, why don't you raise your hand? Let me just pray a blessing over you. Don't forget Sunday, 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 a.m., 3 a.m., pick a service. Pastor Andrew Cabal, a powerful healing evangelist, is going to be here. You don't want to miss it. He is funny and powerful at the same time. Father, we thank you for Good Friday. I speak the blessing of God over these magnificent people. Father, I only just skim the surface of the magnificence of the sacrifice and the work that you did on the cross. Help us to see it clearly. Help us to embrace and taste it, Father. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen. We love you. Don't forget, get hero tickets. And we've got some goodies in the foyer waiting for you. So go on out there, enjoy those goodies, and we'll see you Sunday morning. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.